This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
I'd like to welcome to the studio the man, the myth, the legend, Phil Wendell, the man behind ACAC. It is truly an honor to welcome you to the program. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much for asking me.
The best place to start that I like to start with folks who come on the program is sort of a 101. Tell us a little bit about your background and where you're from and a little bit about your family, that kind of thing.
I'd love to. My wife Roxanne and I live just 4 or 5 miles north of town on the Ravanna River. And I have 2 stepchildren, daughter at Clemson, Kayla, and a son at Covenant. He's a sophomore. I have 4 adult children myself, all daughters, and they've produced for me 5 grandchildren, with a 6th due today. 3 of the 4 girls live in Charlottesville and absolutely love our area.
So, you're literally waiting for a phone call.
I'm waiting for a phone call. I placed that phone call earlier today, said, Cheryl, I know you don't want to hear from anybody on this subject, but I just had to say, how are things going?
That's wonderful. Congratulations.
So, thank you.
Now, before we talk about ACAC, give me a little idea of your business background and sort of the backstory as leading into the creation of the of ACAC.
Okay. Born in during the Second World War, raised by an Army guy. So my dad was in the service. He was a Pearl Harbor Day After joinee, December 8th, 1941.
Wow, good for him.
And so I didn't see my dad for the next 3.5 years. Didn't even know I had one. But we got moved around and shuttled around a little bit stateside during the war. And we ended up, when the war ended, and I started school in Northern Virginia in Arlington. We lived there for 7 or 8 years, and then my father was transferred to Chicago. So I did my high school and college work in Chicago. When I completed my college, I got into teaching, and I taught the social sciences, which government history at that particular, I was teaching middle school kids, and also coaching basketball and baseball.
There you go. So when did you first go into business? Was ACAC your very first business?
No, it really wasn't. when I was a first-year teacher, one of my co-teachers said, I'm taking a group of kids to Washington, D.C. on an educational trip. Would I like to come along as a paying chaperone? And I said, oh, my God, yeah. I used to live in that city. I know the city like the back of my hand. Take me along. So I and 53 others and a couple of teachers went out to Washington, D.C. with a group of 8th grade kids. And when I came back from that experience, I said to the guy, I think we can do this a little bit better than the travel company we hired to do this. So the next 3 years, while I finished up teaching and coaching, I began to work on the side on my travel business. I call that company Lakeland Tours. After 3 years of three more years of teaching, I left the field and went full time with a company called Lakeland Tours. That company is now in Charlottesville today. It's called World Strides because I sold my controlling interest in that in 1998. Has about, I think, 250 local employees and takes over 100,000 kids a year to Washington. That was our core model. We did student travel for middle school kids and some for high school kids, and primarily taking them to historic areas like Boston, Washington, New York, Williamsburg. A lot of kids here too, Charlottesville.
My guest is Phil Wendell, the founder and creator of ACAC. Let me back up 1 minute. Tell me about your coaching. What sports did you coach, and did you enjoy it?
Oh, I absolutely loved it. I coached basketball. Coach middle school basketball. And I had a great mentor, Ron Fanati, who subsequently worked for my travel company. And Ron coached the 8th grade kids. I coached the 7th grade kids. I did that for 4 years. Learned on the job because I didn't have a lot of basketball experience in high school and college. And I did play baseball while I was in school and college, and I wanted to start a program at the middle school. So I started a baseball program there my last couple of years. So.
What makes a good coach, Phil?
Well, I think you've got to relate pretty well to the kids you're working with. It would be helpful if you knew your field. When I got into basketball, I didn't know it nearly well enough, but I learned on the job. A whole lot of different things. I was able to complement my lack of knowledge of the sports by putting in a lot of time and a lot of effort. So.
Which is also the big secret, key to success as an entrepreneur as well.
I'd say
it's just a lot of hard work.
I'll tell you a funny story. You used the term entrepreneur, And 10 years ago, I was asked by a business group in Charlottesville to speak to a group of female business owners. And they asked me to speak on goals and controls. And I thought about that for a little while, and that sounded kind of interesting, but it also sounded boring. And I said, call the guy up, and I said, would you mind if I spoke on entrepreneurship? And he said, well, not at all. So to make a long story short, I went to the dictionary to look up entrepreneur, called a couple of my friends that taught over at Darden or that were students at Darden. I said, do you have anything on entrepreneurship? Because I'm going to give a talk on it. And went to the bookstore, picked up a couple of books and read some of the tests that, you know, you are an entrepreneur if. And lo and behold, as I got in front of the group, I told this story and I said, you know, I had no idea what I was going to speak on, but lo and behold, I am one. So I'm entrepreneurial by nature. And an entrepreneur by definition is just anyone who starts a business. So I love business. It doesn't matter what it is. If I owned a movie theater, I would try to say, how could I differentiate? If Carmike Cinema was mine, I'd try to say, how could I make that better than the theaters at Seminole Square or Regal downtowns? Or when I go in a restaurant, I'm always saying to my wife, if they did this, it would be a little tiny bit better. So that's my passion. And it really kind of doesn't matter what it is. I mean, it does in the end because you choose to go into something you really enjoy. But I'd say entrepreneurship is my passion.
My guest is Phil Wendell, the founder of ACAC. Did you know as a kid that you wanted to own a business one day? Did you know, hey, I'm going to grow up and be an entrepreneur? Or was it just I wanted to coach and teach?
But if you look back over my background, I kind of worked for myself through high school and through college. I did a lot of lawn work, and then I got into Parks and Rec when I was in college, and I really enjoyed that. Coaching in flag football, coaching hockey leagues, organizing adult badminton leagues. So I had a lot of experience with young people and other things like that. What really drove me to business was I was working so hard at teaching. You'd have five classes a day. You'd be well prepared for all your classes. You'd go home, you'd do your homework at night, and you spend a couple hours after school every day coaching. And, you know, I was making $400 a month. That was a driver. And I said, there's something wrong with this when the guy in the next room over has been here 10 years longer than I am, goes home every day at 3 o'clock and is getting paid a lot more than I am. So I was really driven to leave the teaching profession by I needed to support my wife and two children.
Right, right. So you have this tour company taking middle school kids to Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. Take us up then. Where did this idea come from to start a fitness club?
Okay, for all the wrong reasons, I got into the fitness business. When I moved to Charlottesville with the company in 1979, I was through the entrepreneurial phase. I had been in that business since the late 60s. It was now the early 80s. And by definition, you know, my passion for what we were doing really hadn't gone away. But I'd noticed in that time that I wasn't having quite as much fun as I was having in the 70s when the business was building, which is part of the characteristic of somebody who's entrepreneurial in nature. We had sort of stabilized. We had matured as a business.
You wanted a new mountain to climb.
I wanted to do something slightly different. Right. So I became friends with the strength coach at the University of Virginia. There was Bill Dunn and then John Gamble, who was his assistant. I'd go down there and do some weight workouts. And they said to me sometime in the early 80s, gee, there's not really a great gym in town. Why don't we do one together? Now, that is not a good reason to start a business, but nonetheless, we did. We opened in 1984, corner of Hydraulic Road and Route 29. It was 6,000 square feet, the old Safeway building for people who have lived here a long time.
The corner of Hydraulic. Now, let me picture the Hydraulic Road and 29.
It's been bulldozed lately. There's a 7-Eleven there now. So that would be the northwest corner of 29 and
I guess it's the future site of Albemarle Place.
It's the future site of Albemarle Place, exactly.
Right. And that was catty corner to the drive-in movie theater, which was there.
That was across. Is that the Kroger that's over there right now?
Yeah, where the Kroger is now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was way out in the country back in the early 80s, wasn't it?
I don't know if that would call that the country. Fashion Square Mall, I think, opened in 1980 or 1981.
That's right.
You know, it was a couple of years after I'd moved to this area. So there had been development in that general area. In fact, Albemarle Square had opened, I think, sometime in the mid-70s. So
yeah.
One quite as bad as calling it real country.
Where did the name come from? Who thought up ACAC?
We were trying to come up with a name for the gym, and I'm a pretty big supporter of UVA athletics, and I kind of liked the playoff on the ACC, you know, the Atlantic Coast Conference. So, and I liked athletic club over gym. That seemed to be more of an inclusive term. So actually, that was an original thought with me, Atlantic Coast Athletic Club.
We're talking with Phil Wendell, the founder of the ACAC. Tell us about the very first ACAC up there at what's now the 7-Eleven there at Hydraulic and 29. What did it look like?
Wow. It was 6,000 square feet, and it had six exercise bikes. That was our cardiovascular component. It obviously had a lot of weight equipment because the general manager at the time was Bill Dunn, who, for those of you who have been around this area for a long time, will remember Bill as a gentle giant. He was 6'2", 390 pounds, and most of that was strength. But we had a lot of nice weight equipment, and then we partnered up just as we were getting ready to open with a female who said, well, don't you think we ought to have a group exercise component. That's the new name, group exercise, by the way, for aerobics. So
right.
Back in the 80s, we called the dance classes aerobics. So we had a small studio that was out in the open, a lot of weight equipment, two locker rooms.
And that was back in the era when, am I right, Nautilus was coming into Vogue?
Nautilus was one of the early adapters of weight equipment. That would have been in the 60s and 70s. I think Bill, Coach Dunn, bought a lot of equipment from vendors he knew through his affiliations with being a strength coach at UVA.
Yeah. Now, what was the reaction then that Charlottesville's got some new fitness club, a workout place? So what was the reaction in the community?
Well, I lost a lot of money in those first three or four years. I think people thought, this is a nice club. It's probably well managed. It's clean. It's got a lot of nice equipment. But I didn't know the first thing about that business. And so there were a lot of checks to write every month to help make ends meet. But I think the members, in a very general sort of way, thought we were doing a nice job.
Yeah, yeah. So what happened next? How does it evolve? What's the next chapter?
Well, the
next
step is there were a couple of clubs in town and 2-3 years later that we were competing against that went out of business and sought us out as a purchaser. And, you know, we took that leap of faith and we bought a club that was over on Pantops. And then about 3 or 4 years down the road, a gentleman approached me and said, this Four Seasons property, are you familiar with that?
Sure thing, yeah.
It's 6 or 7 acres right out in the Four Seasons subdivision that was for sale for a relatively good price because I think we were having a real estate depression at the time. So we thought, why not move our two sites to this one particular site where you had an outdoor pool and some tennis courts. So that was really the first leap away from a storefront location into something broader and more expansive.
Now, what's your thinking then? Because that's a big move. What was your thinking? Was there some hesitation or did you know, hey, that's a smart move, we're going to do
that? That's a great question. What I was thinking was this. Thank goodness my travel business is doing really well because I sure as heck don't know what I'm doing. The learning curve came in the late 80s. I joined our industry's trade association, began to go to the national conventions, began to go out, drive around in different cities and find out what others were doing that were in our field. A lot of people don't know this about fitness. It's a pretty new industry in the scope of things. I mean, you really didn't find what we call health clubs or gyms until really the late 60s or 70s. There were some of those clubs that formulated in California where the bodybuilders would work out. But in a general sort of way in marketing to the public, I think you'd have to almost say that gyms started in the 60s, maybe the 70s. At least in a sense that it's appealing to a broader market than just, let's say, a bodybuilder.
Yeah, and fast forward to today, and you have an ACAC where, as in my case, where the entire family can go. And it is now a family experience.
So talk about that 23-year journey and all the changes that have happened in that 23-year period is pretty remarkable. We went from 6,000 square feet on a roof to 130,000 if you count our three locations today. But there's, as you well know, the industry has a wind at its back. You can't pick up a newspaper today or listen to a report on the Channel 29 news or from you guys without hearing something incredibly positive about the benefits of exercise and how if you do this, you have a lesser risk of heart disease or stroke or cancer. So for the last 20 years, we have been getting phenomenal, not we ACAC, but wellness has been getting phenomenal publicity from the national press, and understandably so and deservedly so. And all of that research that we're reporting is done by universities, so we're not paying for it. club industry is not paying for it. You know, it's Harvard, it's Mayo, it's Cleveland Clinic.
Yeah, it's not propaganda. It's,
absolutely.
This is the truth. If you get moving, you'll be healthy, you won't get sick.
If you go back, here's a story I can recall. They have a really good exercise physiology department at UVA. They're run by Art Weltman and Glenn Gaisner. And I first met these guys 10 years ago. And ACAC was then, oh, let's say it was about 10 or 11 years old at the time. And they were graduating maybe 10 to 15 kids a year. And I said, Art, we'd like to have some of these kids work at our place as interns. So I brought the 10 kids out and said, you know, we'll pay you so much an hour. We'd love to have you give us 10 hours a week or 15 hours a week, because they were getting a scientific degree in the field. And I said, in another few years, there will be job opportunities for you in our industry. And they all looked at me like, you're some sort of idiot, because if you had a degree in exercise science in the early 90s, you did one of two things. You went to cardiac rehab, or you got a job with a corporation that was saying maybe employee wellness is significant. The early adapters, like Bill Gates at Microsoft, was one of the big national players that really believes in employee wellness.
And now it's a different story. Now that the industry is just massive and growing.
Well, yeah and no. One of the more interesting things I can share with the listeners is this, that in spite of the fact that we have so much wind at our back and there's so much compelling data out there about why everybody ought to be engaged in some type of exercise activity, the number of active Americans is about 17%. You know, you've seen studies as low as 15. You've seen studies as high as 20. That's really only 1 in 6. And remarkably enough, that hasn't changed over the last 10 years. But, and this was my entrepreneurial, aha, I get it. There was a report issued by a research agency in the mid-90s that talked about Americans' attitude towards exercise. And I read this in one of my trade publications, and it said just what I reported to you, 15-17% of Americans are active. And by active, we mean get 100 days of exercise per year. That's really only 2 days a week, so it isn't all that much.
But right, right.
They define that as the active. And it said 63% or 64% go to bed every night and say, I believe in it. I want to be. What do I have to do? How am I going to get started? We all know these people. If I'm speaking to a group of Rotarians or Lions Club members, you look out in the audience and there's 50 men and women out there. They're all nodding when I make that statement.
That's me.
I mean, it might be your mom. It might be your wife. It might be your dad.
It's me, Phil.
Yeah. No, I don't know. You look great. There aren't people out there. You can almost say today with absolute certainty that 98% of Americans fully believe that exercise is a really good thing.
Yeah.
But yet, our industry is still only attracting 15 to 20%.
Right. We're talking with Phil Wendell, the founder of the Atlantic Coast Athletic Club. And just really quickly, some people here in Charlottesville may not know that there are other clubs, and they're not in Charlottesville.
Oh, you mean ACAC.
Right.
Yeah. We got a little bit of a road show. We have co-ownership of a facility up in Baltimore called the Maryland Athletic Club, and that's in Timonium, Maryland. We're opening our second site up there in Harbor East, which is in the Inner Harbor, and that'll be this Saturday. And then we have a club that's pretty much like ACAC Charlottesville in Westchester, Pennsylvania, where our former quarterback, Matt Schwab, is from. And I ran into a friend of mine who's an Episcopal priest up there who was ordained. I went up for his ordination, and I drove around the area, and I said, wow, this is a really nice market. It seems to be underserved. So we opened a club there about 4 or 5 years ago. We bought a club in Richmond from a hospital group 2.5 years ago. So we have an ACAC in Richmond. And our next site will most likely be in Lynchburg. And we're working with former UVA basketball great Curtis Staples, who will be our He'll be our managing partner in Lynchburg. Now, we have the developmental hurdles to cross. You know, we've got to get a piece of land rezoned. But we've been on this for 2 years. So hopefully we can break ground in 3 or 4 months.
My guest is Phil Wendell, the founder of ACAC. And we're going to continue this discussion on the other side of this break for local news and weather. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070 WINA.
You're listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now, thanks to the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. If you want to get involved with the show, feel free to comment on our blog at sevillepodcast.com.
Let's continue our discussion with Phil Wendell. He's the founder, the creator, the man, the myth, the legend, the man behind the Atlantic Coast Athletic Club. And, you know, one question that, Phil, that came to my mind that I forgot to ask you in the last segment was, Why Charlottesville? What actually brought you to Charlottesville in the first place?
Yeah, for listeners that missed the early part of the interview, throughout the 70s, I was living in Chicago. And the business I was associated with at that time was a student travel company called Lakeland Tours. And my sister, who at the time lived in Williamsburg, said, "Hey, Phil, why in God's sake are you putting up with those Chicago winters? You're doing business with kids from all 50 states. Had you ever thought about picking up the company, lock, stock, and barrel, and moving it?" And I said, "No, that's a really great idea." So it was the in January of 1979. I got in my car, drove out here. And I left Chicago. It was 20 degrees below zero. I couldn't make this up. 20 degrees below zero. Stopped on 29 somewhere, gassed up. It was about 45 degrees, and the sun was shining, and I was in my shirt sleeves. And I said, "This makes sense to me." So
you knew you were home, huh?
I knew I was home. Bought a house on that same trip, rented some office space, and then went back and tried to convince the people that were working for me that there's a better life out here on the other side of the Blue Ridge. So relocated a company, really for weather. And again, I grew up, as I had mentioned earlier, in Northern Virginia, and really had good memories about the state in a very general sort of way. So,
right.
It's a great choice. My sister made a great call. Her daughter at the time was a student at UVA. And she said, "You'd love this city." And she was right.
There you go. Let me ask you this. Let's talk a little bit more generally. We talked about the history of ACAC and some of the future of the company. Let's see if we can't talk more generally now about health and fitness in America, sure, because that is your business. What is it that you think keeps people away? If we have so many people in America that say, "You know what? I'm a few pounds overweight, or I'm a lot overweight, or my heart's not in the kind of shape I want it to be in, or whatever. I know that I should be moving. I know I should be on a treadmill. I know I should be in a pool. I know I should be in one of those classes on a bike. I should be doing something."
Yeah, Coy, that's a great question. And I know a lot of people think that way out there. Our whole business model is designed to say, if there are four times as many people out there that want to be club members as are presently club members, that's the entrepreneurial challenge. What are the kind of things we have to do at ACAC or in our broader industry in order to begin to attract more people into exercise? So there's not a single answer to that question, but you know, at ACAC, we've tried a lot of different things. Here's what's keeping people away, and I've heard this more than 50 times. "I really want to join ACAC, but I need to get fit first. I have physique anxiety. I would feel stupid if I came into your club because I'm assuming I would be surrounded by a bunch of really
little hard bodies or something."
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Bodybuilding guys and women in fancy leotards doing group exercise. That isn't the case anymore. That's clearly a myth. And if you came to ACAC this morning, between the hours of 9 and 12, you probably would have seen 350 people over the age of 70, some of them on walkers, some of them with canes, some of them coming out of physical therapy. The industry, and I'm not speaking of ACAC in particular, but the industry in a very general sort of way is fragmented. It's relatively new, and we've gone after we're all fighting for the same people who want to get on a treadmill or who want to lift a weight. So the industry in a general sort of way hasn't done a very good job in reaching out to all of those Americans that are saying, "Come on, you got a product I want. How do you get me in the door?"
Right.
So we've spent our 10 years or the last 10 years trying to think, what are all the things we need to do as a company that paints a broader welcome mat?
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.